Üçüncü şükürler geçmemi. Üçüncü şükürler geçmemi. Daha bir çampi şampi hün.
Daha bir çampi şampi
hün. Yoginam, yoginam paramam gurum.
Yoginam paramam gurum.
Purushasya yatkaram. Vriyanasya sarta Adhaapcham visam siddhim
Adhaapcham visam siddhim
Yoginam paramam gurum
Yoginam paramam gurum
Prusasya yathayam
Prusasya yathayam
Vriyanasya sarta
Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here that the question put forward by Maharaj Brigham is the basic principle of the complete thesis of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, what is the way of perfection? What is perfection? What is the goal of life? Where can we find ultimate and eternal happiness? Where is that position? Where can that be found? And we will see that that is answered by Sukadeva Goswami. We'll give you a little preview, I think, coming events. In the second chapter, the second canto, because there's a couple of verses here, and then gradually we will finish this first canto, which is the Bhagavatam. And then, of course, Sukadeva Goswami speaks Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the second chapter, there are two very important verses in which he answers this question and the next question, which are the essence, as Prabhupada says, the complete thesis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in text 36 of the second chapter, canto 2, he answers the second question, which you hear about tomorrow. He says, O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. And then in text 37 he says, those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted name of life known as material enjoyment and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. And therein lies the answer to this question, that the perfection of life is to attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the ultimate perfection. Bhagavan. And of course, Bhagavan, the topmost manifestation of Bhagavan is Krishna, that is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, from the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then right throughout the 10 different topics are all described, and all different subject matters are seen to be relative to the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Sri Krishna. He is the shelter of all other relative subject matters. Anything you can think of within material or spiritual creation is all Krishna is the shelter of everything. This is described by Sukadeva Goswami very nicely in the second canto. And of course, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 90 chapters of the 10th canto describing the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. Showing how he manifests the full manifestation of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Bhagavan also refers to Lord Ram, Lord Ramchandra, and other various Lord Narayan, various incarnations. So here, when it says that one should attain the lotus feet of Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means that if one has attained the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, then that is perfection. wonders attain the form of, you know, one of the various forms of Lord Narayana. Vaikuntha is Bhagavan. They are manifestations of Krishna. And those who attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, he is Bhagavan, he is the original form of Bhagavan. And whether one attains the lotus feet of Bhagavan in the mood of dasyavasa, servitorship, as prima bhakti, someone who loves God, the mood of service, or whether one attains the lotus feet of Bhagavan in the mood of sakya, friendship, or whether one attains the lotus feet of Bhagavan in the mood of vatsalya, parental rasa, or whether one attains the lotus feet of the Lord in the mood of conjugal love, they have all attained perfection. So here it describes those who drink through oral reception fully filled with the nectar and message of Lord Krishna. Lotus feet is the personality of Godhead. These various expansions of the Lord, they're forms of Krishna. They're expansions of Krishna. They're not different from Krishna. So there it describes the goal. This is the ultimate goal. And of course, one who can Srila Prabhupada mentions that I think it's in the Padma Purana, that Parvati asked the question to Lord Shiva, what is the greatest object of worship? So Parvati is the goddess Durga. She is the goddess of the whole material creation. And very, very powerful. She basically in charge of creation, maintenance and destruction through the modes of material nature. Yet, Prabhupada notes that even though she is so powerful, still she must ask these same questions. Who is the greatest worshipful object? She has to inquire. And Lord Shiva, who is her consort and a great Vaishnava, he explains to her that of all the objects of worship, Vishnu Tattva is the highest object of worship. So you can worship so many different demigods, you can worship Durga, you can worship Shiva Tattva, but ultimately worship of Vishnu Tattva, Krishna, Bhagavan, is the highest form of worship. And then he says that even higher than the worship of Vishnu Tattva is the worship of Tadya, or that which is in relationship to Krishna, to the Lord, which means the devotees, such personalities as Tulasi Devi, spiritual master, the Vaishnavas in general, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha is that which is in relationship to the Supreme Lord. The various paraphernalia, the temples, this is all the paraphernalia of the Lord, the Lord's Dham, one's service, one's devotional service to the Lord. These things are all in relationship to the personality of Godhead. And if one can fix one's mind and activity and words and consciousness in worshipping or performing devotional service, paying great respect to that which is in relationship to the Supreme Lord Bhagavan, that is synonymous with having attained the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is described that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and these topics, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that they are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are some rascals who say that yes, it is described that one should hear about Krishna, Bhagavan, various, you know, expansions of the Lord, but where is Krishna, you know, that we can hear from him like Arjuna? And Srila Prabhupada says that actually the Lord is not different from his message. And therefore, if one hears from the proper sources, you know, the Vaishnava, the spiritual master, the topics of Krishna, such as the Bhagavad Gita, then one is just as perfect as Arjuna in hearing directly from Krishna. So, not that we're Arjuna or we're, you know, all of a sudden great archers, and, you know. But the point is, you know, not that we're all of a sudden big devotees, but the point is that Krishna is directly there. That's the point. Krishna is directly there. As Krishna is directly there for Arjuna, Krishna is directly there for one who hears the topics of Krishna from the proper sources. And for such a person who's always absorbed in the Krishna Katha, chanting the holy names of the Lord, and engaging in devotional service with the Lord's paraphernalia, then that person attains the lotus feet, has attained the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is directly there. So this is the perfection. Of course, it is because within our hearts we have so many anarthas or unwanted goals. We have, instead of having the desire to attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is actually simply achieved, and it's described in the Bhagavad Gita that this process is actually simple in one sense of the term. But because we have so many different anarthas, other goals within our hearts, then, you know, there's a process that we need to follow so that these anarthas, unwanted things within the heart, which are there because of the modes of passion and ignorance, they are cleansed away. That is, of course, described, that process is described in the next verse tomorrow, that, and which is repeated in this second chapter, that text 36. So it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So, it has already been described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when we hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serve the devotee of the Lord, the Bhagavan, that these two processes will actually cleanse all the different marthas from one's heart. And when the grudge is, that becomes cleansed, one becomes fixed up with the lotus feet of Krishna. Maheshiki. Where is that mentioned? Who knows? Who knows that slogan? Pandas or
Pandas?
That's it. So, you know, by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service under the pure devotees of the Lord, you know, all that is troublesome to the heart, the Bhagavatam, the unwanted things, you know, gradually removed. Gradually devotional service is established. You know, one becomes fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, Naishiki. Now, you know, it's interesting, you know, fixed up, and you use the term, you know, fixed up devotee, we tend to think of, you know, sort of certain, we have prototype, you know, that is another word. You imagine something to be exactly one way. Like prototype is a thesaurus. We have a
stereotype.
As a walking thesaurus. So we have a stereotype, you know, of the fixed up body. but when Prabhupada was talking on this subject matter, he never used a stereotype. He talked about, when we came to discussing fixed up devotees, he talked about a little, about 4 or 5 year old build. Sarasvati. And he tells the story that one man, you know, so she used to, with her parents, you know, she distributed books and Sankirtan, and a man was, you know, sort of criticizing, you know, why are you worshiping this Krishna? Prabhupada says, so she immediately gave him a slap. So he says that, you know, this is what it means to be fixed up, that, you know, no one can, you know, push you away from Krishna. So he gives this nice little story about Sarasvati. So, you know, one becomes, but the, we become fixed up because the unwanted things, you know, fix up the lotus feet of the Lord, that is the goal, to actually fix our mind, our activities, our words, our everything, our intelligence, at the lotus feet of the Lord, to, you know, somehow or another completely surrender ourselves fully to the lotus, take shelter fully at the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is the goal. If one can achieve that is the perfection. But we have other things within our heart. Generally, of course, you know, if you say to, you know, people in this world, that if they ask you, you know, what is your goal in life, you say, well, our goal is to become, you know, a little speck of dust, the lotus feet of Krishna, a little blue cowherd boy who plays his flutes as he walks through the forest of barefoot Vrindavan. You know, people will say, look at us, and they will not be able to fathom that. They will think that we are mad, crazy. Maybe we are. No. Actually, Prabhupada mentioned that when he was talking to Ginsberg. I call him Ginsberg. Ginsberg, you know, the poet and you know, pioneer of various psychedelic drugs and what have you. But, you know, he was describing that devotees in their own way are also crazy poets, you know. You know, you're crazy. We're not so dislike you and I like that, you crazy thought, you're a crazy thought, but in a transcendental sense, in a nice way. People think that we are somewhat crazy to have such a goal. This is, this is what we think about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every year of our life. This goal somehow or another becoming just situated nicely, fully at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. It is a great challenge, and it is not therefore here and previously and in the next chapter we see the same process is given, that to get to that goal we need to always be hearing and chanting and the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us unlimited we want to think about Krishna and the Srimad Bhagavatam and the various writings of the great sages and Srila Prabhupada's purports and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and devotional service, in itself, these things give us unlimited, variety of nectarian things to absorb our mind in. Prabhupada used to say that I've written so many books that practically speaking, in one lifetime, you'll not be able to read them all. he did that on purpose. He wanted to make sure that there's no excuse. There's so much thing to do. And you can take one aspect of Krishna consciousness. Even within the atom, there's the super soul, jivas are there. You can take that one aspect there and meditate on that in, unlimited variety of ways of just, what to speak of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. There is so much in there. And of course, everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is reality. It is the actual reality. It's the way the world functions. It's the way the spiritual energy functions. It's the nature of the living entity. So we're absorbing ourselves in that which is reality, which means that the devotee, not only are they absorbing the goal of life, Bhagavan and Sri Krishna, but they're fully aware of everything properly, in this proper perspective. They're absorbed in the reality. Now, you see in the next verse that Prithvi Maharaj also asks, therefore what should be heard and what should not be heard. In this second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this, that what is the, in the first chapter, where it describes what is not to be heard and what is to be heard. In the first chapter, Goswami described that the life of an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence. So it pretty much takes up the night. And the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. Persons devoid of appetite do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fellow soldiers like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see the inevitable destruction. And then verse 5, again, the same point. O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller, and the savior from all miseries. So, what is not to be heard about? That is described there. That, generally, householders, they're interested in, at night time, sleeping, so they want to sleep as much as possible, and sex indulgence. And in the daytime, either making money or maintaining family members. So of course, and they become very attached to their family members, even though, you know, gradually they see, as Yudhisthira Maharaj said, that what is the most amazing thing in this world, that all around us, everyone is dying, and yet we think, oh, it's not going to happen to me. There's someone else. But you know, this is, you know, this is a common denominator in the consciousness of the devotee. That they understand that, you know, death is approaching very quickly. And, you know, therefore, in this lifetime, you know, or this day, as soon as possible, they want to make sure that when death comes, they're going to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. That is their consciousness. It is not that devotees are, say, impersonalists when it comes to the relationships with their friends, relatives, husbands, wives, children, stuff like that. You know, if you see that read the Mahabharata, you know, you see that the relationships between the Pandavas and Draupadi and all the various relatives, you know, very sweet, very affectionate. And if something happened to one of them, they become, you know, very, very disturbed. They never lost sight of the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the difference. But they weren't impersonalists. You know, even Queen Kunti, you know, she prays, you know, you cut off my ties to these relatives. So the God is like that, that if there is something which is an obstruction to the goal of thinking of Krishna, yes, then their heart is done. If there's an indefinite, you know, a serious impediment, not that, you know, husband comes home, day out of Sankirtan, and, you know, there's a little tiff, oh, that's it, taking something else. Not like that. You know, serious impediment, we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, you know, he put up with some difficulties. And, it was only when she traded his Bhagavad Tums, you know, for tea biscuits, that he thought, okay, that's pretty much a good sign. That's enough's enough. Like that. That's a serious impediment. You know. That's a big difference in consciousness. And even then, Srila Prabhupada had to be pushed and prompted by his spiritual master appearing to him within dreams and various godbrothers, and you know, and he was, I think, about 58. It wasn't something very lightly that he did. But if there's a serious impediment, you know, then sometimes one may have to be very, cut off from some relationships. But that's not done lightly. Generally, you know, if the relationships with devotees, you know, they're both trying to make advancement despite, you know, all sorts of different problems and, you know, anarthas, then, you know, they must remain together helping each other in Krishna consciousness throughout the whole course of it, you know, until such time as, you know, generally after the age of 50, and the children are, you know, grown, and the girls are married, you know, then, you know, one may consider, you know, some, you know, gradually detaching more and more like this. But here, you know, the materialist, so the materialistic people are extremely attached to their family members, so much so that it is all they think about. And, you know, even death is, and so many problems, especially in Kali Yuga, is, you know, just gradually slaughtering the whole family. The material energy is just gradually plucking one, there goes another, there goes another, you know. And despite the fact that the material energy is, you know, just killing everyone in the family, they don't see it coming. What's going to happen to me? They just keep absorbed, plowing on in the same consciousness of that. And ultimately, of course, they become ruined by the material energy. And then, when death comes, then in those last seconds of their life, you know, as they're being torn out of their body, at that point, I've got to do something about this problem of death. At that point. Of course, then it's too late. You know, their next body, the next womb, you know, their happiness, their distress have already been meted out, and you know, they will take birth in a particular body. But you know, the common factor amongst all devotees is that they understand that, you know, today or tomorrow, you know, I will be, you know, this body will be finished. Let me attain perfection in this lifetime. And so therefore, Prabhupada mentions in the Purport that he says, unless one is perfectly anxious to inquire about the way of perfection, there is no necessity of approaching a spiritual master. And he describes here that the spiritual master is not a kind of decoration for a household. So, you know, if you go to different, you know, I mean, these days, you know, if you go to anyone's house, whether they're Western or whatever, they've got some sort of guru picture, you know, like that, you know, the devil. It's, you know, it's fashionable. You know. Who's your guru? Oh, yeah, you've got a picture over there. You know, it's just fashionable. Everyone's going to have they follow, you know, what's popular. And, you know, they have in India, of course, they have the Bhagavad Sattaha. Or, you know, people will go to see different swamis and gurus. And they're absorbed in the same consciousness that, you know, they, even here we see generally, you know, people come to the temple and they meet some of the devotees and you bless our family and make sure he becomes a nice materialist. But, you know, it's very rare that, you know, someone, when they want a blessing, that, you know, you get the blessing that, you know, my son, my daughter just, you know, forgets all about this material existence, you know, or becomes attached from it. You know, they may go through, they may still get the education, they may still have the family life, but that somewhat they go through it in Krishna consciousness, fully detached, knowing that they're going to have to leave everything in a second. You give them that blessing, you know, that they're just fixed up with the lotus feet of the Lord, you know, right through university, right through family life, but that's where their heart and soul is. But that's not the blessing they're asking. And they have the Bhagavad Sattaha where, you know, in 7 days they'll hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then basically, you know, they give a few umbrellas and a few gifts and what have you to the priest who goes to the market and sells them off, and he becomes wealthy and they go back to their same family business. So, but, you know, in the Bhagavatam it describes Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Not Sattaha Bhagavata Seva, as Prabhupada says. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Every day, every moment, Prabhupada says, we should absorb ourselves in this goal. And the process for attaining the goal, and of course that process for attaining the goal, is to serve the Bhagavata devotee and to always be hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's instructions of the Bhagavad Gita in the association of the pure devotees of the Lord. Not if we hear it from a guru who is not fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, or you know, seriously attempting to be fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, as Prabhupada describes here, that verse, he says, the pseudo spiritual master flatters the so-called disciple, and thereby the master and his ward go to hell without doubt. So, I mean, you know, that's the difficulty, is that you know, if someone comes and you know, from the spiritual master's perspective, he's looking at the disciple and thinking, death is right as you're still sitting. Death is right there. Following you, you know, let me say. I, you know, quite often you see joggers and you know, jogging down the street, and I always say to my girls, I say, you know why they're running? They go, no, I'm dead. Why are they running? Death is chasing me. But, you know, we people want to be flattered. Yes, oh, you're doing so many wonderful things. Yes, yes, it's wonderful. But have you, you realized that death is right there next to you? Just behind you. That is the duty of the spiritual master. It's actually a very difficult job at that. But a spiritual master who's not trying to properly save the disciples from the cycle of birth and death and attach them to the lotus feet, he is a cheater. And people who go to them just absorbed in their, you know, fellow soldiers and what have you, and they have no interest to ask how they can solve that problem and attain the goal of life, then that is a useless waste of time. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any comments or questions. So, you know, they have the pleasure of ceasing material existence for some time, you know, what would seem almost like eternity. But because they haven't derived taste from the lotus feet of the Lord, they will have to come back again. So ultimately, again, they can get caught up in the cycle of birth and death. So therefore we see, Prabhupada mentions that a lot of Mayavadi and impersonalists, you know, they end up going back into things like politics and what have you, you know, and you know, philanthropic work. So they say Jagan Mithya, what's that term? Ramasach and Jagan Mithya, hand in the hat in the class. That, you know, this material world is false and Brahman is reality. So they say that, but they come back to the platform of falseness and engage in it, you know, in a pious way. But it means they have, you know, there is not sufficient taste spiritually, and you know, they're lacking spiritual activity, spiritual variety, spiritual rasa. Therefore, they'll actually be attracted to the variety of material existence again. and they'll come back down to the platform of falseness or mithya. So, you know, one has attained the right sphere of the Lord means that, you know, one has to, you know, when we say we want to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of the Lord, that means, you know, we may be situated as a speck of dust at the lotus feet of the Lord, but, you know, we have full consciousness of Krishna, just like when we look at the deities. You know, at a Vedic, we may fix our consciousness on the lotus feet of the Lord. We may, you know, occasionally look up, you know, but we look at the lotus feet of the Lord, gradually we see, you know, the deity, and we see Radharani and Krishna playing his flute like this. So, you know, one who is fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord means that he is relishing ultimately everything in Krishna's pastimes at that.
What happened to
Mayavadis? What happened? Mayavadis. Well, they can pave their way to hell. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. You know, it's people can become liberated for some time, but you know, people who actually you know, deny, you know, and teach that God is zero or Maya. You know that it's a very risky situation, and they can suffer. You know, they won't attain perfection, that's guaranteed. They cannot attain perfection unless one is situated in the lotus feet of the Lord. They can. If you cannot attain perfection, it means your situation is very unstable, and you know that unstable position ultimately ends up in, you know, disaster. That's what Prabhupada said, pave the way to hell.
How do we deal with the, or how do we understand the fluctuations that we keep having in devotional life? Like for one day it will be like very fixed up in service or anything, and then other day we don't get a taste, it just becomes like a routine. So how do we always have the determination and enthusiasm?
Yeah, by hearing the chanting, that is, as much as we can absorb ourselves in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and talking about Krishna and talking about our service and you know, talking about anything that's probably in relationship with Krishna. So. You know, whether we're talking about our service, that is also something which is in relationship to Krishna. If we're absorbed in our service, it's as good as being absorbed in Krishna. You know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj once said to Srila Prabhupada that regarding management, that he found that management was such a burden, headache, it was very, very difficult. He was thinking, you know, like it's hard for me to actually think of Krishna with the difficulty of management in a very difficult position. And Prabhupada said, you know, you go on, you know, doing this service for Krishna is very pleasing to Krishna. And that, you know, if you have difficulty, Krishna is, Lord Chaitanya is so pleased, you know, with your service, absorbed in the service of the Sankirtan movement, that at the time of death, if there's some difficulty you can't think of him, he will incarnate within your mind and help you to think of him. So if a devotee is, even if, you know, we're absorbed in our service, and you know, even we're finding it a little bit routine or what have you, we should understand Krishna is there. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam that service for Krishna is synonymous with Krishna. If you're serving Krishna, Krishna is there. Sometimes it becomes a little routine because we don't realize Krishna is there. So we're doing service and we've forgotten Krishna is there, he's watching. But when you realize that, you know, you're doing something nicely, you know, with you know, faith in Krishna and love for Krishna, he is there, he's watching. And he will, as it describes in the Bhagavatam, he's sitting within your heart and he will help you. And he will make all arrangements within and externally. to cleanse away all the other things that are in the mind and the heart, and gradually, when all those things become purified, then there is no disturbance for us to just be always absorbed in a very nectarian and blissful way in our service and Krishna consciousness. So it is a process, it is a cleansing process. Yeah. First of all, we should understand that in this context, everyone is trained in Sudha Bhakti, pure devotional service. So in this context, we're not trained in Kama Yoga, whatever we understand these different processes. But from the very beginning, in the first valley, someone takes shelter of this kind, they're actually trained in pure devotional service. We may get ourselves, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we may be on some other platform, as we may be on the platform of the Kama Yogi, where we have desires to fulfill in this world, and to get them fulfilled in a pious way, we worship God. Bhakti, so we may have that. But gradually we understand that there's no need to do that. But if we worship the Krishna Bhakti, devotional service, in other words, we're trying to satisfy Krishna's desires, automatically he will look after our requirements. That's described in the Bhagavad Gita. I will carry what you lack, I will preserve what you have. You don't have to worry about that. But if one doesn't have sufficient shraddha or faith to surrender to Krishna, one may associate with the ISKCON, not properly take that training in bhakti and can remain on the platform of a Kama Yogi. But generally everyone who has some faith and takes the process and tries to learn from the devotees and the spiritual master, from the very beginning, they're actually taken to the path of pure devotional service. We can't, generally, Kama Yoga, they're trying to fulfill their desires, good desires, pious desires, through worshipping God. Whereas the devotee, the bhakta, he's trying to fulfill Krishna's desires only. And whether the personal desires we have, we are saying, there's really no need for me to have any separate interest from Krishna. So that's bhakti. They have no separate interest from Krishna. When there's no more separate interest from Krishna, then one can always be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. As long as we have some separate interest, that interest will take us away from the lotus feet of Krishna. So the devotee is always fixed with the lotus feet of Krishna, and the Kama Yogis, they approach God when they need their particular desires fulfilled, and then when their desires are fulfilled, they become absorbed in their pious, good and happy life, and they may forget the interest of God. Well, we don't have to distinguish whether the devotees live in the temple or live out of the temple.
I mean, who are meant to fully dedicate themselves to Krishna?
just like a rose that grows in the temple, and a rose that grows 100 yards up the road, it's still a rose. It still smells like a rose. So, you know, a devotee, whether they live in the temple or not live in the temple, in the beginning there may be some material desires, but the difference is that a bhakta is trying to purify the heart to remove material desires and to just cultivate the desire to serve the Supreme Lord, knowing that if God is happy, everything, every perfection is there. Whereas the karma yogis actually, they are cultivating, they have strong desires, at least they're, you know, somewhat pious, and they're not trying to remove those desires, they're trying to satisfy them through worshipping God. So, yes, devotees can have material desires, that, you know, whether they live in the temple, you know, if they're not, you know, sent pure. But Prabhupada says about 60 to 75%. When a devotee becomes fixed up, nishta, so in other words, when a devotee is in a situation where they don't go away, they're always, you know, even the service gets a little difficult or things get a bit rough, they just don't go away. You know, they're fixed up, that's nishta. Basically, you know, minimum 60-75% of material desires all gone. Which means that Prabhupada says that even though there's some desires there, they can't actually affect that devotee anymore because they're sort of reduced to something more in the background, and their service to Krishna and their bhakti is predominant of that. So it's there that it doesn't affect them. The karma yogis, they don't have that benefit. Their material desires are predominant. Bhakti is a tinge. And therefore, those material desires direct the course of their life, not their bhakti. Yeah. There's a big difference. But then from nishtha, then because the devotee is always absorbed in Krishna and not so much disturbed, then they get a really good taste from Krishna consciousness, because they're always engaged in Krishna consciousness. They get a really strong taste. It becomes very, very relishable like that. And you know, gradually, progress to Shakti, they become, you know, completely 100% situated in, you know, the mode of goodness, and then transcend the mode of goodness, Bhava, and then Brahma Bhakti.
Yeah, Bhagavata speaks about the Krishna in some verses of Bhagavad Gita, he rises with Karma Yoga. He's saying that, like, some of the Karma Yogis would be higher than sannyasis, because like sannyasis, they can't they can't act because they're renounced, but if their heart is still not purified and they can't act to purify the heart, so they are in a, you know, in a not as good position as those who
if there is pseudo sannyasi, the karma yogis would be in a better position. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say better be an honest sweeper of the street than a charlatan meditator. So, you know, and that's the point of this verse here as well, you know, as Prabhupada's mentioned, that, you know, a pseudo devotee, a pseudo anything, you know, is pretty much useless. Better be something real, better to be a proper karma yogi than a pseudo meditator and have a pseudo guru and be a pseudo disciple of anything. You know, do follow the Vedic process properly, and you'll actually gradually you will attain the complete perfection. But if you become a jiva, that's the message, is useless and it's very dangerous. Well, I believe that they're thinking, Hare Krishna.